Greetings to each one of you this morning. It's been good being here already. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're not necessarily going to be sharing out of there, but I want to grab a principle, I guess. There in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, Jesus is talking about money and treasures and laying up treasures on earth. And then in verse 21, he tells us that where our treasure is, our heart will be also. But then in verse 22, he says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So he paints a picture here of the principle I want to look at is in verse 24. We'll just read that right now. Actually, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." And so there's a principle. I know he's talking about money and our treasure and the things we love here, but there's a principle here that I want to get, and it is the fact that we cannot serve two masters. We're either a servant to one or the other. And the context of this, he gives this illustration of our eyes being the light of our body. And if that's well, then there's light in us. But if our eye is evil or dark, then there'll be darkness. And so again, we're not talking about money today, but the principle is the same, that there is a conflict of light and darkness, or of good and evil, or of who we will serve, whose servant will we be. Are we a servant of Christ or a servant of the world? We come in constant contact with the world. But we can't avoid that, but there's a sanctification that happens when we are a servant of Christ. There's a sanctification that happens, that the contact that we have with the world on an everyday basis is sanctified, and the things that we do that are worldly, providing for our needs and those things, while they are technically worldly things, they become sanctified because we do them serving Christ, because our master is is Christ. Our loyalty is there. If we turn to Proverbs, and I want to go there to, there's an interesting passage there that we can turn to, Proverbs 21, sorry. And we'll read 1 through 4. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, and high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." So we could all agree that a proud look, a high look and a proud heart are sin, but he says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So if what we do is not done because we're serving Jesus and we love him, even the everyday things we do are sinful. But or can be sinful. but to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Sacrifice is a good thing, but to do justice and judgment is better. And so anything we do, the contact that we have with the world can be sanctified if we do it with love to the Lord, and we do it, and we are His servants as we do it. If our loyalty is to Jesus, and we have a single eye, and everything we do is because we love Him, then everything we do becomes holy, provided it is not going against Scripture. There's also that aspect where there are things that are prohibited in Scripture, and we cannot do those things. But I'm talking about getting up in the morning, doing the things we do, that we do to take care of ourselves. Those things are not secular things, or they don't need to be secular things. They can be an act of worship and of love towards God. And I was thinking about this thought of having a single eye, or serving two masters. And this, I was thinking about this because I was reading in James recently. And we'll turn there to James chapter 1. And I never picked this up in the book of James before, but it's many times here he illustrates this, the conflict in ourselves of who we're serving, or how this gets us in trouble because we want to serve God, but there's this other thing that's pulling us. And if we turn to James chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And if we, that phrase, a double-minded man, we think about that, and we think about an eye that is light, an eye that is dark, about serving God, serving ourselves. Whose servant are we? And we have this. We ask. In verse 5, he tells us to ask, and God gives. But then he says to not waver when we ask. And then, because if we do, we won't receive anything. And then he tells us why we're wavering is because we're double-minded, we're unstable, because we want to have both. We can't have a dark eye and a light eye, because those two don't mix. It will either be light or darkness. If we go down to verse 12 in James 1, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." So again, actually, we'll read verse 17 yet. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God doesn't have this problem. There's no variableness there. There's no shadow of turning. There's one focus, and that's where a problem comes in. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. We want to be God's servant, but we also want to have our own way. And Jesus said, we can't serve God and mammon. And that's he's talking about money, but the principle is the same. And then he draws another. I just want to bring this out in James 3. In James 3, he brings out this principle of having one, being a servant of one. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpent, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain, and here again we see this contrast that he's showing us. He's saying, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. This doesn't work. We have two opposing things that don't go together. Does a fountain send forth water at the same place? Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So again, he tells us we can't have both. We have one or the other. And Jesus told us that we can't serve two masters, because either we're going to hate the one or we're going to love the other. We can't have loyalty to both. And then in James 4, we have another picture in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Again, he's talking about asking, wanting things, and and we want to have it both ways. And we can't, because we're either serving one or the other. We want to have it, we want this thing from God. And maybe it's a good thing we're asking from God, but we want to consume it on our lusts because we're serving ourselves. And we ask amiss, and we don't, and God doesn't give us, which is actually a good thing. So if we go on reading here in chapter 4, he tells us what to do about this problem. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So there he tells us to purify our heart because we're double-minded. We want to have it our way and God's way, but he tells us to purify our hearts and be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, first of all, we need to have, in verse 6, it says that God resists the proud. He's against us, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we need his grace, and it's only available to the humble. So the solution is to submit ourselves to God and to resist the devil, to draw close to him, to have a single eye, and to not try to have it our way and God's way, but to draw close to God and submit to him. And he'll draw nigh to us. All right, let's turn yet to Romans 6. I want to grab a passage there. Maybe I should have just taken this whole thing from Romans 6. But it's kind of hard to just pick something out here. But and we'll turn to Romans 6 and begin. And we'll just read 16 through 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we can't say, I'm no one's servant. We don't have that option. We're someone's servant. And that's I wanted that to be my title of these thoughts, is whose servant are we? We're either a servant of sin or we're a servant of God. We can't obey two masters. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I missed verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So the question today is, whose servant are we? We're not serving two masters. We're not serving ourselves and God. We're either serving God or we're serving ourselves in sin. And I want to say this challenged me as I was reading through James. It just hit me. Like, there's so many times that I want to have God in my life, but I have all these things that are just consuming, you know, just work and whatever else, the problems. They consume me and it bogs me down. And it's like, it's okay. Those problems, we all have the things that we face, but we need to have a single eye and we need to serve God first and to not have God over here, this thing that we do, you know, when we read the Bible or when we go to church. But he wants to be part of every part of our life. And we don't put him over here, go out and do our thing. And, you know, this part of our life is secular. And this, the part that we do on Sunday, is sacred. And so we separate those two things. And I think God wants us to bring those things together in a way that everything we do, God is a part of that. And whatever we do, however we respond, however we act, is because we are God's servants and not the servants of sin. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, we bow our hearts before you. Thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you would just be with us the rest of this day. Be with Brother Moses. He preaches. Please bless him, Father. Father, I pray that we could yield our hearts to you and that we would always remember that we are first of all to be your servants. And being a servant to you is the greatest calling we have in this life. And so, Father, thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for giving us one more opportunity to call upon you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.